I don't know if any of you remember it. I called it the three K's. The three K's. And it's based upon the Greek word for judgment that's used in the New Testament. And the scripture that I'm going to use is John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You know, when we read scripture, a lot of times it just goes right over our head and we really don't sit and meditate and really absorb what it's saying. But we understand that we are in a new testament, under a new covenant. Amen. And this scripture highlights the fact that we're under a new covenant and in a new testament age, because it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And we should be so happy about that. We should be so praising God that we're not being judged by the Father. Because in the Old Testament, that was not the case. Amen. That was not the case. But in the New Testament, the Bible says that we have a new mediator. And we under covenant that is on better promises. Hallelujah. It's founded on better promises. Isn't that great? Amen. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And really what this scripture and this Bible lesson is about is the fact that Romans 8 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation. But it's conditioned on this fact, to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, if there is no condemnation, then you can fulfill Hebrews 4:16. You can come boldly to a throne of grace. Amen? So let's look at that. In the Greek, in the New Testament, there are three related words that have to do with judgment. And I call them the three K's. I said I was going to teach about the KKK. But it's really krino, krima, and crisis. And it's where we get some of our English words. That's the Greek word for judgment is where we get the word crisis and where we get the word criminal. Except in the Greek, krima is spelled with a K. So let's start this by looking at some scriptures and some definitions. So the word krino, which is also translated judgment, it means to judge in the sense of probationary, when you're giving something a test. Okay, I'm going to give you a trial and see how you work out. So when it says judgment in the Greek, sometimes it's using the word krino, and you don't really get the sense of what it's saying unless you understand that it's not a judgment of condemnation, it's a judgment of trial and testing. So when it says krino, the meaning of that word is testing, or like a court proceeding, but the sentence and the decision has not been made yet. The next word is crisis. And you know, when you come to a crisis, it's when there is going to be a decision. So when the word in the Greek uses the word crisis, it means it's speaking of a judgment. Like when the court hands out a sentence, judgment is given, it will use the word in the Greek, crisis. The third word, krima, is speaking about the person on whom the judgment is been passed. And that's where we get the word criminal from, krima. And a person only becomes a criminal after the sentence or the judgment has passed. So those are the three words we're going to study tonight. Krino, which means testing, where you're testing and you're judging, trying something. Crisis, that's the decision point where the sentence is passed. And krima, that means the condemned, or the sentence has actually been issued, and that means the condemned or damned. In the Old Testament, we find that judgment was passed quite often. We read in Daniel chapter 5 about this situation with the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, he went and did something that Nebuchadnezzar had stayed away from. Nebuchadnezzar had taken all of the vessels out of the temple in Jerusalem but he had never used them. He had kept them safe. He had respect because he understood that these were holy vessels. These belonged to the temple. That's where they came from. And he made sure not to touch them. But his grandson was not of the same mind. And let's read the story. He went and he took all of these vessels to have a great party. And instead of even being careful what they said, but they took these vessels and were worshiping gods of stone and of iron and of brass and of gold, using God's vessels to do this. And you know what happened? In the Old Testament, judgment was passed. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, of iron, of wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified." Isn't that an interesting word? Glorified. Remember what we've been studying? That's why we should always be thankful. You may not have any money. You may have a stack of bills like this. You may not be able to do anything else, but you can be thankful. Instead of glorifying your stack of bills, glorify the God of heaven. The Bible says, in whose breath, whose hand is thy breath? Another scripture says, if he was to take up, withdraw his breath, we would just turn back to dust. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the meaning that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. See, so this is, in the Greek, this would be crisis, because the judgment has been passed. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. The sentence was passed. That very night, the Medes and Persians had surrounded the city of Babylon, which had huge walls. They thought they were so secure because the walls were 60 feet high and 20 feet wide. But you know what they did? They dammed up the river. And although the river had gates, they dammed up the river and was able to go in through the riverbank. And that very night, they took over the city of Babylon, and that kingdom fell. And so the very night that judgment was pronounced, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. We never want to be weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's why I'm showing you the contrast in the Old Testament where judgment was pronounced. Now, judgment in the Old Testament, and judgment is not always a negative thing, because a judgment can mean something good, right? If you are judged and it's something good, then you get a prize. The Bible says in the New Testament that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, amen, to receive those things done in the body. Now, that judgment is not a judgment of condemnation, but it's a prize-giving ceremony. Anyone was at high school and you received a prize? I remember the very first prize I received must have been grade school, was for reading. And I remember going up on the podium and being given as a prize a new book. I can remember getting that. It was a prize-giving. So sometimes judgment can be for a good reward. I tell you what, if you're judged by God and you're found worthy, that's what he told his disciples. Don't rejoice that you've been able to do miracles, but rather rejoice that your name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a judgment too. So judgment is not always a negative thing. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 9 says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Sometimes God's judgments help people keep straight. Right? That's what this is saying. Are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So sometimes we need judgment to keep us straight. In other words, a little correction. Now, what I want to present to you tonight is something that I haven't taught for a little while, and it's not explicit in Scripture. So, as I always tell, this is not a salvation teaching. Whether you believe this or not, it's fine. I'm just going to give you what I see from Scripture. And what I see from Scripture, just as how in the New Testament there are three words that have to do with judgment, krino, crisis, and krima, it appears in Scripture that the earth was going to be judged three times. Let's look at this. Ezekiel 21, verse 25. And it says this, "Thou profane and wicked prince of Israel." This is actually speaking prophetically of the Antichrist, "whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem," I mean take off the crown. "This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high." Now I want you to look, pay attention to this verse 27. This is God prophesying something. He says, "I will overturn, overturn, overturn it, and it shall be no more, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him." God was saying something here, that there was going to be three overturning on the earth. In other words, three judgments. Three judgments. There were going to be three judgments. Now, we know the first time the earth was judged. When was that? The flood. During the flood, the earth was judged. The earth was judged. Now, in the New Testament, we know that during Jesus' time, he said that he came. There's one thing he said he did not come to do. Let's read it. "After he was baptized, he returned to Capernaum, to his hometown, and he went into the synagogue on that day. And they just happened to hand him the scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he opened it, and he went up to the lectern, and he began to read from Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." How are you feeling tonight? How are you feeling tonight? "To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Do you understand that when Jesus came, there was a new covenant? The angel said, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." You know, in the Old Testament, it wasn't so. When you defied God, you were in danger of being zapped. Ahab sent some soldiers to come and get Elijah. And Elijah said, "Listen, if I'm a man of God, fire come down and burn you 50 up." There wasn't even a hesitation, not even any pleading. They were gone. Ahab sent another 50. Same thing happened. Judgment fell right away. They were gone. The third 50, of course, were a lot smarter. They begged him, "Listen, we know what happened before. We're just doing our job. Please, please, will you come with us? Don't kill us." But what Jesus is saying, that we are under a new covenant. He did not come to destroy. He says in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I'm going to give a space for people to repent. I'm giving a space, the acceptable. God will accept you just as you are right now. Before you've even done anything, as I've been teaching. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year for us to get saved. From the time Jesus came, he said that's what he came to proclaim, to preach. And he stopped right there. He stopped reading the book right there. But that was not the end of the sentence. Because the next verse says, "and the day of vengeance of our God." You know what that tells me? There is coming a day of judgment, a day of vengeance. But right now, we're in the period of the acceptable year of God. It is so amazing that we happen to be living at this time. Any of you would like to have been living in the Old Testament? Any of you would like to be living even 200 years ago in medieval times? You know, You have to get up in the morning, go down to the river to get your water. You know, go down into the woods to do whatever business you had to do. Amen. Go and chop some wood to get some fire to cook. You know, we complain so much, but we are blessed and highly favored. But what this is telling us is that there is coming a day of vengeance of our God. We are in the period where Jesus came to give an opportunity for people to be saved, to repent, to turn to him. But he stopped right there and he closed the book, because the next verse is not yet going to be fulfilled, but it's coming. So let's look at what Jesus said he came to do. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world," and here's the first of those Greek words. It says to condemn, krino, the world, "but that the world through him might be saved." And what it's saying there in using that word krino, it means literally that he did not come, when he came that time, he didn't come to judge people. He did not come to make a judgment on people. That's why when the woman was caught in the very act of adultery, he said, "Neither do I what? Condemn thee," because that's not why he came. If he came to judge us, there would be no one able to stand. Do you understand that? No one can come to God on their own merit. If Jesus came to say all the righteous and perfect people stand, there'd be no one standing. But he said he did not come to test us, but that the world through him might be saved. So what that means, he should be judging now. When he came that first time, it was not to point out people's mistakes and failures. Right now, that's not what he came to do. He came that the world might be saved. Aren't you glad that you are not under condemnation? But you know, God's attributes of judgment still need to be satisfied. God's attributes of judgment and of justice still need to be satisfied. And we know, as probably it's obvious, that the very first judgment was when God gave the flood. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, that everything was perfect. And yet four chapters later, the earth had turned violent and so wicked to the point where it said God repented. Let's read that. In Genesis 3:17, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." The first judgment, of course, for disobedience was death. That man was now no longer immortal, but was going to die. Yes, they still lived hundreds of years, but it always ends the same way in Genesis 5, right? And he lived 800 years and had sons and daughters, lived a few other hundred years, and then it says, and he died. That's how it always ended, and he died. In Genesis 5, it gives the book of the generations, and it lists the first few humans, and they always end the same way, and he died. So the first judgment was death, but even with that judgment, man got worse. Man got even so wicked that the first wholesale destruction of the earth became necessary. In Genesis 6:5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, it's interesting that Jesus said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." The earth got so violent and wicked. I mean, it's terrible to listen to the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock news. You can almost always guarantee there's going to be 2 or 3 murders. A few people run through red light. I think it was 2 days ago, went home, and just down the road from me at the corner of 91st and Good Hope, two guys ran a red light, paid for it with their lives. Didn't know that that was going to be their last day. did not know, woke up thinking, oh, I've got the rest of my life. But the earth became so violent and so despicable, and man was just thinking of ways to do worse. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented. This is the first time in the Bible it speaks about God changing his mind. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. There's nothing worse than when someone you love hurts you. You know? And that pain, when, say, it's a child, is very great. His very creation that he had created had rebelled against him, had done everything he said not to do, had become violent, had become wicked, had become abusive. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, if you were to work out the timeline from Adam, you'll find that it's almost coming up to the 2000th year from creation when this first judgment falls, or the first overturn. Remember, I read in that scripture that God said he was going to overturn three times? So it was almost about 2,000 years when the flood came and God wiped the slate clean. The good thing is this phrase, and Noah found grace. Amen. Isn't that great? Even in the Old Testament, someone found grace, because it's only by the grace of God that we are here tonight. Amen. There's been a few times when I've had some near misses. I remember a few months ago, I was going up to 27th and I had the green light, and I had just started to pull into the intersection when this car came up 27th going, I don't know, 80 miles an hour. Not care that he was on a red light. I had to just slam on the brakes and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It said, it repenteth me. God says it again. It repenteth me that I have made them. And so judgment came upon the earth. Judgment came upon the earth. But you see, God had prophesied that there was going to be three judgments. Now I want you to look at this scripture in Jeremiah very carefully. Jeremiah 4:23. Jeremiah is given a vision of judgment. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Where have you heard that before? In Genesis. But this is different. And the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. So this is not Genesis 1. What this was, a prophecy that was given to Jeremiah of a judgment, not on individuals, but again, on the whole earth. Almost back to where it was in Genesis, because it says, I beheld, and lo, it was without form and void. This was a prophecy of judgment that was given to Jeremiah. When Noah finally came out of the ark in Genesis 8, he built a fire, an altar, and he sacrificed a turtle dove as a burnt offering. And it says in Genesis that the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and he said he would no longer curse the earth because man's heart is evil from his youth. What he was saying, listen, I understand now that they're not going to change. Not everyone is going to love me. Not everyone is going to believe. And if I wipe out the whole earth again, there won't be any flesh left. So this prophecy for judgment was what was going to happen, but for one thing. See, there was a second judgment due, because we see that after men came out of the ark, by the time it got to Genesis 11, right? Genesis 8, Noah comes out with his family. By the time we get to Genesis 11 and man has multiplied, guess what's happening again? Evil and wickedness. In fact, Jesus prophesied in Mark 24 and I think Matthew 25, as in the days of Noah. It's coming to the point where man is going to force God's hand again to do something. Jesus himself said, except he shortened the days, there would be no, what? No flesh left alive. This really matches with Jeremiah. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Just a few days ago, probably you guys didn't know it, but there was an asteroid that they found. Anyone read about that? That came within just a few thousand miles. They were tracking it very closely, of hitting the earth. It missed, but they were very shocked because they didn't discover this asteroid until it was only a month or so out. And they were worried that there are more like that that they don't know about. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at his presence, and the Lord by his fierce anger. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God had determined or foreseen that there was going to be three judgments. We had one, which was the flood. So the second judgment was due. Remember what I said, the first judgment happened about, what, 2,000 years after creation. 2,000 years later, here we are, and Jesus has come. Let's read John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, Jesus, predicting his death, said this, John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. What I'm trying to tell you is that if Jesus had not come and died, there was going to be another worldwide judgment. Remember, there were three overturns predicted. Jeremiah saw the world back to the state it was before creation. Jesus himself predicted this. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Why? Because they had rejected the light of the world. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Again, that word there, judgment, that one is crisis, meaning decision point. Jesus was saying, there's a judgment coming. This place has gotten back to how it was the first time in Genesis 5. It has become so wicked. People have rebelled, and there is a judgment coming. There was a judgment. God was about to destroy this planet again. That's what people don't understand or realize. That would have been the second overturn. John 3:19, read this very carefully. And this is the condemnation. That's the crino. That light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Let me explain something to you. When the first flood came, we were only down to the 10th generation from Adam. You know what that means? That means everybody who was alive knew about God. It wasn't that they didn't know there was a God. They knew exactly, because only three generations before was someone living. Adam was still living to his seventh generation. That means at the time that Adam died, there could have been 10 million people, and every single one of them knew the truth of creation. Because Adam, great, 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 great grandfather Adam, was still alive. He lived 900 and I think something like that, 30 years. So if you plot it on a graph, he lived to see his seventh generation. I was talking to someone the other day who They have 6 generations living. It's great. They're on the great great. I don't know if I'll live to see great great, but I'm at the great. It's possible. Or at least I'm at the grandfather stage. It's possible. They have great great. But Adam lived to see his 7th generation. That means at the time he died, nobody doubted the Garden of Eden story. Like today, the Bible says, you know, people don't know. Well, it could be, or it's a myth. But when Adam died, everybody knew it was for sure. Do you understand that's why judgment came? Because there was truth, there was light, and they rejected it. The Bible says in Peter, they became willingly ignorant. Do you understand what that means? There's another saying, it's very hard to wake a person who is pretending to be asleep. Wake up. It's very hard to wake someone who's pretending to be asleep because they don't want to be awake. They know the truth, but they rejected it. Every time light comes into the world and it's rejected, you know what's going to happen next? Judgment. This was one of the reasons for the flood, was because it wasn't that God had to send on anybody and say, you know, change or believe in me. They willingly chose. The Bible in Romans said that they worshiped the creature rather than the creator. They chose to worship fallen beings rather than the God who created them. That's why the Bible said it grieved God to his heart. And it repented him that he had created them. And judgment was going to fall. Do you understand when Jesus came now was the very reason judgment was going to fall again? Because this is the condemnation. It's using the Greek word for the decision, which is crisis. This is the crisis. That light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Do you know why God has waited so long to put in his appearance? It's because he's waiting for the word to have been preached to every nation so that the light has fully shined. Once that has happened, just like in the past, judgment is going to fall. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every time light comes and is shone and people reject it, judgment is going to... Doesn't the Bible says that now we are the light of the world? So let your light shine before men that they should what? There we go again, that word. See, that's why it's been 2,000 years, because the third overturn is about to happen. But let me go back to the second overturn. So the light came again this time, and they rejected him, knowing the truth. The very first time Jesus speaks about the unforgivable sin, it's when he cast out some demons out of someone, and the Pharisees said, no, he didn't do it by the Holy Spirit, he did it by demons. But here's the point. They knew that was a lie. They were willingly rejecting truth. Now, if someone willingly rejects truth, there is no more for you to do. If you know they know, they know you know they know, then they're just playing games, right? What is God to do? There is no more for him to do. When people reject light, when they see light, they're crossing that line into judgment, to the crisis. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You ever been into a place where there's a cockroach? Cockroaches, and you open the door? Those things are fast. You barely can see them, Sister Browning. It was blasphemy because they knew the truth. It wasn't as if they had to be convinced. The people who crucified him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. But once you have come to truth, the Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If you have once tasted of the heavenly gift, then you're putting him to the cross again. That's a very dangerous place to be. And it's not easy to do that. It's when you deny the truth. Now, people will backslide and people will sin, but that's different from saying it's not even true when you know it's true. That was the reason for the flood, because every single person who knew, who was alive, knew the truth. They knew God existed. They knew what was required. There was no one needed to be sent in the flood case. But even so, God gave them a space, because the Bible said that Noah preached while he was building the ark, 120 years. And even after Noah went into the ark and God closed the door, it did not rain for 7 more days. God was so merciful. If someone would have said, "Let me in," I believe God would have opened the door. Even after Noah and all the animals were in the ark, there was no rain for 7 days. God was going to the utmost to see if there would be one more person who would be willing to acknowledge truth. But after 7 days, the Bible says the fountains of the deep were opened up and judgment came. This time Jesus came as the light, the truth. And they knew who he was. The Pharisees said, "We cannot deny that he has done this miracle. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to kill him because we can't deny this miracle." They knew the truth. They were trying to avoid the truth because the Bible says their deeds were evil. So Jesus then said, "Now is the judgment come." Why? Because light has come and they have rejected me. Because they had rejected Jesus, the second overturn was to come. Isaiah 53 verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men." Light came into, God clothed himself in a body, came to earth, walked among men, did miracles, fed thousands, walked on water, brought people back to life, made paralyzed people get out of their bed, turned water into wine, and they still rejected him. What was God to do? Judgment. Judgment was about to fall on this planet again. "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." It was prophesied that they would reject him, that they would say, "Crucify him." So John 12:31, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment, the crisis, the verdict was about to be put on the earth." But here is the miracle. Jesus also went on to say, John 12:32, "But if I..." Because he could have just gone back to heaven. He could have done that. He came to bring light. He was rejected. He could have just gone back to heaven. But this is what he said. "But if I be lifted up, I will draw all." Now in your King James Version, it says "all men," but that's not in the Greek. That's just a supposition, and the translators assumed it must mean all men, but it does not say men in the Greek. It just says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all." Do you understand what he was saying? "I am going to take this world's place. If I be lifted up on a cross, I am going to become the object of that judgment that was to fall on this whole planet." John 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." Jesus said, "Listen, I could just go back to heaven and the judgment is going to fall." What Jeremiah prophesied, that the earth became void, it was just a mess, as in Genesis, was going to happen. But Jesus took the penalty. And he gave this one sign to explain what he was doing. He said, you want to see more miracles? You want to see more things? The only sign that's going to be given to you is the sign of who? The prophet Jonah. What was supposed to happen to Nineveh? Judgment. Judgment. Except Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to save those people. But he went. And he saved those people by spending 3 days first in the belly of the whale. Actually, he died, if you read it correctly. Just like Jesus. You see, do you see the sign? You see the symbol Jesus was saying? And when he went and preached to the city of Nineveh, the judgment that was supposed to fall on Nineveh was delayed. Why? Because from the very king to every animal repented. There was the greatest revival ever. A whole city, probably about 500,000 people, repented. And this wicked, wicked, wicked city of Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrians, who I've told you before was the ISIS of their day. That's who they were. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go preach to them. They skinned people alive. They were just like ISIS. But imagine God's mercy and his grace. At the preaching of Jonah, the judgment that was supposed to fall on Nineveh did not happen. Jesus used that as a symbol of what he was going to do. He says, now is the judgment of this world come. But you know what? If I be lifted up, I'm going to draw that judgment. The Bible in Isaiah 53 says, he who knew no sin became sin. He was bruised for our iniquity. It pleased God to make him the sin offering, so that the judgment that should have fell upon this planet, that second overturn, you know who it fell on? It fell on Jesus. He was going to draw all the sin, all the disease, all the guilt, all the judgment, the verdict, all the condemnation that comes after the verdict when you become a criminal. You see, he again used this other symbol. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so that whoever looked at the object of their sin. See, today we can look unto Jesus. And even though judgment is still supposed to fall on us, if we will look unto Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. You may say, I don't have much faith, like the man whose child kept on being thrown in the fire. But if today you will say, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, do you understand that that second overturn, that second judgment was supposed to fall? It was right at the second 2,000 year. It says, now is judgment come. But if I be lifted up, I will draw all. I know it says men in your translation, but in the Greek that word men is not there. That's a translation assumption. I believe it really was speaking about the judgment. Because the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. And if you read Isaiah 53, it tells of what happened. How he was twisted out of such shape that his face became unrecognizable. That's why nobody could recognize him afterwards. He suffered that judgment that should have fallen upon this planet. You see, the reason why the judgment didn't fall is because, I read it before, the Father gave him the power to decide. He decided, I'm going to take it. He said, the Father judgeth no one, but he hath given the power to who? The Son. And then he says, listen, but if I be lifted up, I'm going to take all the judgment. For the Father judgeth, krino, probations for trial, no man, but hath committed all the judgment, the crisis, the verdict, the decision, unto the Son. That's why he could say to the man that had been let down through the roof. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's why he could say to the woman caught in the very act of adultery, where art thou thine accusers? She said, no man. He says, neither do I. You know why? He had the power. Because all the judgment, the verdict, had been given to the Son. He had the power to forgive sins. The Son had the power. Luke 5:23, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk. But that he may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And you know why he had to have that power? Because if the Father had retained the judgment, then judgment would have fallen. But because the decision, the verdict, the crisis was given to the Son, he could say, but. Now in his flesh, he didn't want to do it. In the garden, he said, is it possible that this cup pass? Is there any other way? Can you fix it some other way? Nevertheless, not my will. He came, he says, for this cause came I into the world. He came to take the judgment, to become the sin offering, to become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know what would have happened? Because the Bible says the first time was by water, but the second time is going to be by what? Fire. So just like Nineveh, the judgment has been delayed. Nineveh was spared. That generation never saw judgment. Nineveh did fall, but it was 150 years later because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And what caused it? Was because he died and went into the belly of the whale for 3 days. Because Jesus died and went into the belly of hell for 3 days, the judgment on this planet has been suspended. That we have a chance, as he said, to set at liberty them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year. Judgment had been given to the Son. That means it's using the word, the verdict, the crisis. He had it in himself to declare someone innocent. That he may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thine house. The Son was given the authority. That's why when that woman was brought, he could say, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And it uses a superlative. It says, kata krino, mean damned thee? She says, no one, Lord. Now he had the power. And he says, neither do I. Neither do I. You know what he's saying to you tonight? Neither do I. I do not condemn you, because that's not what I came to do. Right now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Judgment has been delayed upon this earth, but it is still coming. Jesus took it that second time, but that third time is coming. It's coming. No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I krino thee, but sin no more. You see, he had the power to change the decision. The thief on the cross, how long was he saved for? Had he done any good works? Had he given to the poor? No. No. All he had was faith. Faith in the name of the one who was on the cross next to him. Luke 23:38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And this word this time is the krima, meaning sentence been passed. We are both criminals. We deserve what's happening to us. We are all criminals. We deserve God's judgment. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Now here's the miracle. Here's again Jesus taking the verdict, taking the crisis. And he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was it. All he had was faith in the one. You know what he was doing? He was doing exactly what Jesus said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, everyone who looked unto the serpent was healed. That man on the cross, you know who he was looking at? Jesus lifted up. That's who he was looking at. Jesus lifted up. And because he was looking at Jesus lifted up, Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, I say unto thee, this day, today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's all it took, looking unto Jesus, even on the cross. On the cross, he took that judgment. He took that judgment. You see, the real judge, and the word there is critis or critic, that's where we get the word critic. Because a critic makes judgments, doesn't he? And he does the judgment on the basis, that's where we get the word criterion, the basis. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, John 12:40, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word. There is going to be a judgment, it's just delayed. Jesus said, what's going to judge you is the word. The word that I have spoken, because you did not believe. The same word shall judge him in the last day. That's what's going to be the judgment. That's what's going to be the judge, the critic, the crites. And it's going to be where we get the word criterion. The basis of judgment is going to be the word that he spoke. That light came into the world and men did not like it. Because it exposed evil deeds. It's amazing, really, but not amazing, because Jesus said what's going to do the judgment is the word. And when we turn to Revelation, it's the word that comes forth. But this time, he's not coming to deal with sin. He's coming to bring judgment. That third overturn is going to happen. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's what's going to be the judge. That third overturn is coming. Just as how Nineveh escaped judgment, but 150 years later they had gone back to their old ways and judgment fell on the Assyrian nation. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. If you could stand with me tonight, I want you to know God said there were going to be three overturns. The first time was by water. The second time, he took it himself. The third time, it's going to be by fire. Jesus said it's the word that's going to judge. But when I look at this study and realize what Jesus did, what he did, where he said, now is the world to judge, is the judgment of this world come. But if I be lifted up. And he goes on to quote Moses. He said, but as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all. Your sin, your disease, your pain, your condemnation to me. And he took that judgment. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? He took that judgment. So that even now, that's why we have to look at the cross. Looking unto Jesus, just as the thief on the cross did. He fulfilled that very word because Jesus said, if you look unto me, as Moses lifted up the serpent, which was made of brass, which represented the sin, Jesus on that cross, that thief looked unto Jesus and said, remember me. He had faith in who he was. He had faith in his words, and he believed that he was the promised Messiah. And just because of that, Jesus said, verily, truly, today you're going to be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, saints, there is judgment still to come. But we have the opportunity to keep looking unto Jesus. All you have to do is like the thief on the cross and say, remember me. That's all you have to do, has put faith in Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to meditate upon this. Because Jesus came not to condemn, but to bring life. The reason why the next judgment hasn't come yet is because he wants us to be the light. But we're coming up to the 2000th year, so it's about time for that judgment to fall. And it's for us now to be that light. So let your light shine before men. Isn't that what the scripture says? That they can come to see Jesus through you. That's what this is about. So that the crisis, the verdict, the sentence will not come upon them. That we will not become the crema, the criminal. But we're going through the crino, which is the testing. See the three Ks. But God has made a way. He said, but if I be lifted up, I will draw all. When we put faith in his words, and when we look, I bet you there were some people in the desert refused to look at the brazen serpent. Oh, that can't be real. There's no such thing looking at a pole. Is that going to make me better? They refused to be healed. The other thief on the cross could have done the same thing. He could have looked and put faith in Jesus. But instead, he railed upon him. Isn't it awesome that right at the moment of his death, this one man who had done nothing but be a criminal, he said it, looking unto Jesus, was saved. What a thought. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me tonight. Father, we just lift up your name. Help us to always be looking unto you, not to ourselves, because you have taken all our sin. Lord, you have said through your word that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to stay in your ark of safety, to always be covered by your blood. Lord, to lift up your name, to believe your word, to be looking unto you tonight, Jesus, for salvation and for deliverance. We thank you tonight for your death on Calvary, that you took that judgment. Oh God, that you became the sin offering. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, help us, oh God, to walk worthy of your calling. Pour out your grace upon us. Oh, hallelujah. Anoint us with your blessing. Take us to the next level. Hallelujah. Let your promises be fulfilled in our lives. Help us to shine our light before men as you have asked us to do. We thank you tonight for your love and for your grace and for your goodness. Hallelujah. And we give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And whenever now you see that word condemnation, you can remember that he took the crisis. Not only that, the Bible says that whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You see, he said, don't you understand that the Son of Man hath power on earth? And he has given us that power. Hallelujah. If we understood it, to walk in sonship, that whatsoever we bind on earth should be bound in heaven. And whoever sins are remitted. Hallelujah. That's what he said. God bless you. Meditate upon this word, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.